The Springboks and Wales are about to go toe-to-toe in a match that takes place outside of the test window. It begs the question, why is this test match even taking place? Well, I'm going to tell you why and give you a front row seat to the ultimate preview of South Africa and Wales in Cardiff. Let's begin by taking a look at the two teams, starting with South Africa. Up front, we've got Gerard Steenkamp, Johan Grobbelaar, Wilco Lowe, John Klein, Ruan Nokia, Sia Kolisi is our captain, Franco Mostert and Jasper Visser complete the forward pack. Moving into the back line, we've got Mornay van den Berg, Sasha Feinberg and Gourmet Zulu. Andre Esterhazen is back in his more familiar 12 jersey with Damian Dialendi moving to 13. Kanan Moody is on the left wing, Ethan Hooker on the right wing and Damian Willemse finds himself at fullback. Looking at the bomb squad, Bongi Mbonambi, nice to see him back. Zachary Porthen is going to be a loose head in this instance, most likely anyway. Asenati and Tlaba Kanye is on the bench. Eben Etzebeth, Marco van Staden, Ben Jason Dixon, Kwakha Smith, so it's 7-1 with Kobus Reinach being that one. A very interesting Springbok side being put together. We'll discuss it in detail, but first let's take a look at what Wales have decided to do. This is Steve Tandy's match day 23, starting up front with Gareth Thomas, Dowie Lake, he's the captain, and Kieran Asarati, Ben Carter, Rhys Davies, Tane Plumtree, the son of John, the Sharks coach, Alex Mann, and Aaron Wainwright complete the forward pack. Looking at the back line, Kieran Hardy, Dan Edwards, Joe Hawkins, and Joe Roberts, the two Joes, are in the centres with Rio Dyer and Ellis Mee on the wings. Blair Murray is the fullback. In terms of their bench, they've gone 5-3, Brody Coughlin, Danny Southworth, Chris Coleman, James Ratty, Morgan Morse, Reuben Morgan-Williams, Callum Sheedy, and Ben Thomas. Just before we continue, guys, I'd like to encourage you to buy my book, How to Become a Sports Journalist. I've been in this racket for more than 20 years. I think I've learned a thing or two, and I've put pen to paper in this book. It describes how you can become a sports journalist, whether you are a student, just starting out, mid-career, whatever the case may be. I'd like to think there's a pearl or two of wisdom in this book. You can get it on Amazon. The link is in the description area down below. Now, you may have noticed that there are a number of our Springboks that you would ordinarily expect to see in this team, and they're not there. The same is true of Wales. In fact, Steve Tandy has made 13 changes from last week's team. And the reason that we're seeing so many changes is because this match is taking place outside of the test window. So if you don't know how it works, World Rugby designates a certain number of weekends every year, and that is called the test window. And what happens is, if you are the Stormers, the Bulls, Leicester Tigers, Racing 92, whoever you may be, as a club or a franchise team, you are obligated to make your players available to the national team. So, for example, if Dr. Rassi Rasmus wants Sasha Feinberg and Gourmet Zulu in his team this week, if it was inside the test window, John Dobson from the Stormers cannot say, you can't have him. John Dobson has to release him. Pulverized once more, Feinberg and Gourmet Zulu. The same is true when it goes the other way around, and that is what has happened this weekend, where we now have a test match taking place outside of the test window. Now you might say to me, Pete, I'm pretty sure I saw Sasha's name in that team, and you did. And what happened there is Dr. Rassi Rasmus would have gone to John Dobson, although I don't think it's actually that close in terms of the personal relationships. It's more like Saru, Rian Oberholzer, will go to the Western Province Rugby Union or the Stormers Pty Limited, whatever they're called these days. I know there's been so much nonsense going on in Cape Town. But this, basically what happens is SA Rugby or Saru will go to Western Province or the Stormers and say, listen, we'd like Sasha for this weekend. Can we have him? And Province / the Stormers will say, no, you can't, which is within their right. Or they might say, okay, you can have him, and then SA Rugby Saru will have to pay a fee to have that player made available. And so that's one of the reasons why a lot of Sharks players are not seen this week in the Springbok side. The same is true of the Bulls, but obviously it's not, that's a bit of a general statement. And Feinberg and Gomezili just slapped it. Right, Wales, on the other hand, we know that in the URC, which returns this weekend, they've got Cardiff, they've got Scarlets, they've got Ospreys, and they've got the Dragons. And those four sides have largely said to Steve Tandy and the Welsh Rugby Union, you cannot have anyone. That's why Tandy has had to make 13 changes. It's another reason why I'm very, very worried from a Welsh point of view. Let's compare the two sides quickly. If you look at what we've got, so up front, Gerard Steenkamp, Johan Grobbelaar, and Wilco Loh. Now, yes, that is pretty much our bomb squad, or has been our November bomb squad. Those are the guys that come off the bench in the second half to make an impact, and they do. They get an opportunity to start. Honestly, guys, if you look at that front row, you're not saying, oh, he shouldn't be there, or that guy's a weakling or weak link. You're not saying any of that stuff, right? John Klein, yes, he's not experienced at test level for South Africa, but he has represented Ireland. And in terms of an actual rugby career, when you think of clubs and franchises and that sort of thing, he's been around a very, very long time. He's played a lot of rugby. Ruan Nokia is now a very much established player in the Springbok ranks, and no one is going to turn around and tell you that Siya Kolisi, Franco Mostert, or Jasper Visser is a weak back row. In fact, two of the three start for the Springboks pretty much week in, week out, especially when we play against the biggest teams. So you would say that it's just Peter Steph du Toit that's actually missing there, but I don't think Franco Mostert has ever let this team down. And if you compare that to what Wales have got out there, Gareth Thomas, it does feel as if there's always a Gareth Thomas in their team, isn't it? I can think of so many men named Gareth Thomas that have represented Wales over the years. Dowie Lake is their captain. He's actually a great player. He really is. Class act. In my opinion, he's one of the very few genuinely world-class players that the Welsh actually have right now. And then you've got Kieran Asorati, Ben Carter, Rhys Davies, Tame Plumtree. Plumtree has actually featured a little bit. But again, you wouldn't put him in the same category as Kolisi, Mostert, Visser. You know what I mean? And I say that with the utmost respect. I really do. And then you've got Alex Mann and Aaron Wainwright. Forget the fact that Wales have made 13 changes, guys. Let's just go back to that old adage in rugby that it all starts up front. If you look at our pack and you look at their pack, I really, really do worry for them. I work with a couple of Welshmen, and I was speaking to one of them yesterday, and he was fearful, and I said to him, listen, I mean this with the utmost respect. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I'm going to be very disappointed if we don't put 50 points on you guys on Saturday. And I haven't changed my mind on that. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking a couple of things. We all know that right now, Wales are in a very, very bad place. In terms of professional rugby, this might actually be the worst it's ever been, certainly in terms of results. If you look at the statistics, I mean, what they went something like 2 years without a win, and they've only won two test matches this entire year, both against Japan, and not by exactly large margins either. And I'm thinking a second string, so-called, Springbok team, put Japan to the sword at the beginning of these November test matches. A similarly second-string Springbok side is about to take the field against a Wales side that compares favourably with the Japanese, except they've made 13 changes that, let's be honest, does not strengthen their side. And so I'm genuinely expecting us to do something to them in Cardiff that we did to Japan at the beginning of this test window. Now, in the back line, there's a couple of things we can say. Again, let's look at our boys. Morne van den Berg, that's fine, even though we all know Kobus Reinach and Grant Williams would be ahead of him. Sacha Feinberg Ngome Zulu has been one of our best players so far this season. Genuine contender for Springbok of the Year, I think. And then, okay, in the back line, there's a lot of movement that has taken place. Andre Esterhazen, yes, he's back at 12, his usual position, but Damien Dialendi has been shifted to 13. If we were playing the All Blacks or France or England, you know, I'd be thinking, I'm not sure about that, but you know, again, with all due respect, I'm not worried at all. Kanan Moody and Ethan Hooker on the wings, we've seen them there before, even though I think ultimately they will both move into the midfield. You know, Hooker and Moody may actually be our centre combination at the 2031 Rugby World Cup. And then Damien Willem, so he's an experienced hand by now. He's not old. I think he's 26, actually. But no one is going to turn around and say that he's inexperienced or any such thing. So I'm not worried about that at all. And if you look at their choices in the back line, Kieran Hardie, Dan Edwards, they're going to have their work cut out for them. Remember, we're expecting that Welsh pack to be going backwards more than it's going forwards. The two Joes in the centre, Rio Dyer, Ellis Mee, we saw him last year against the Springboks, actually, at the Millennium Stadium. And then Blair Murray, we know about him. And then again, you look at the bench, they've gone 5-3. Okay, fine. We've gone 7-1. Guys, it's going to get ugly. It really is. Bongi Mbonambi's going to come on at some point at hooker. I know he hasn't had the best year, and there's been a lot of concern about him in the last 2 years since the last Rugby World Cup, and with merit, but I don't think this is the kind of match where we're going to see a weak Bongi Mbonambi. I think this is just the kind of test match where he's going to fit in and do a really, really good job. Zachary Porton, clearly they have looked at him and they've identified him as a guy who can take the side forward. Remember, at the moment, we've got Thomas du Toit, who can play one or three. And I think that that is what they're thinking with Zachary Porton. This is the perfect test match, quite frankly, in which to see how it goes. And then you've got Asenati and Tlabakanye, where a lot is expected of him as well. And so I'm looking at that bomb squad of ours, 7-1. I heard one or two Welshmen describe it as terrifying earlier in the week, and that is exactly what I think it is going to be. Guys, I've got nothing against Wales. I feel sorry for them in many instances, and I don't want to come across as being arrogant or pompous or any of those things. But I'm going to be very honest with you. I cannot see anything other than a massacre in this test match. Something interesting, they've already said that in terms of any kinds of replacements and people being on standby, just in case, Dwayne Vermeulen actually happens to be on that standby list. So if a couple of guys go down injured, we might see a member of the coaching staff take to the field. I'd be very interested to see if that actually happens, but it's just something to keep an eye out for. And so my prediction for this test match in Cardiff, I'm sorry to say it, Wales fans, but I'm just going to copy-paste what happened against Japan here, and I'm going to go South Africa 61, Wales 7. There is just one other thing I'd like to say about the Welsh, and I've watched quite a few of their test matches during this very difficult period for them. And one thing that I have noticed is that despite the results, the actual performances have been okay. Now, yes, we all know they're being outclassed. So what do I mean when I say performances? I mean the effort and the commitment. That has never been in question, to my eyes anyway. I can see that every one of those players are giving it everything they've got. They are trying their very best for themselves, for their teammates, and for their country. It just so happens that the opposition right now are too good for them. I have not seen a Welshman actually give up while wearing that famous red jersey. And I just wanted to say that because that to me is a tremendous credit, because sometimes players do give up when things are going against them, especially as badly as things have been going against Wales. But in terms of what has happened to this Welsh side, I can honestly say I have not seen anybody actually give up. But what do you think? Do you agree with me that the Springboks are going to put a really big score on this Welsh side, even though they will give it everything they've got and not let the team down, or at least show great commitment? Or do you think that Dr. Russie Rasmus may have been right earlier this week when he said that at some point Wales will come right, and he just hopes that it won't be this weekend in Cardiff? Let me know in the comment section down below. And while you're down there, may I encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great benefits to be had if you do become one of my patrons. For example, you can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store. You could win yourself the brand new James Small biography. In addition to that, you might be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. We can also have quarterly Zoom calls where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, classic games, all those sorts of things, the history of the Springboks, anything you like. It depends on what tier you select. It starts from as little as $5 per month, That's US, not Zimbabwean dollars. And the reason I'm asking for your support is because I would love to do this full time, guys. And I would also love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under on a daily basis. So I'll need your support to make that happen. And if you used to work at Eskom, well, then maybe you might want to go for the $100 per month option, especially if they gave you a lekker bonus when you left. And I'll see you next time.